Daniel chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because he was an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, that which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent an angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he believed in God. And that's where I want to end the reading. I know that was quite a bit of reading. It was 23 verses, and I'm not very fast when it comes to reading. But what I want to preach on is standing against the ones that stand against you. This message was laid on my heart this morning. Dad had told me that he wanted me to preach today. Yesterday, he let me know. And this morning, the Lord laid this story on my heart in kind of a roundabout way. And as the day progressed, it just seemed, and I'm not trying to get into every bit of social media or social networking that's gone on outside of these walls, but there's a lot happened today and in the past couple days and in the past months and all this year and the past couple years, there's a lot that's gone on. And when I went to go to studying about this, the Lord really laid this on my heart, saying He wants me to preach on this, standing against the ones that stand against you. And oftentimes, it's the man in the mirror. Oftentimes, it's the man in the mirror that you're fighting against. But there's the ones in this world, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. The people that we see from day to day that are of the world, that are fighting against you, fighting against your faith, fighting against what you believe, you're not fighting against this right here. You're not fighting against this one or that one by name. You're fighting against the darkness. You're fighting against the devil. If you're doing stuff right, you're going to have that fight daily. Daily, every day you're in this world, if you're doing stuff right, you're going to have that fight. That fight of temptation, that fight of your faith, that fight to keep on going, and the world's going to try to keep you from that. But standing against the ones that stand against you, in verse number 4, the world looks to find the child of God. It says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. They were watching him. That's what the world does on a day-to-day basis. Hey, they might not be mean to your face. They might be your best buddy at work. There might not be anything what you would say wrong with them. They're not trying to hurt you physically. They're not trying to get you in trouble at work. This one or that one may not be trying to outwardly hurt you and harm you, but if they're not saved, if they're of the world, they're looking. They're always looking. They're always looking to see if you're going to trip up, if you're going to fall, if you're going to say this cuss word, if you're going to listen to this kind of music, if you're going to dress this kind of way or act this kind of way. When something comes up, they're always watching. Always watching. We got to be on our toes. Be about the Father. We need to be about our Father's business at all times when we're out in the world. Whether we're out in the world or whether we're in here, we need to be about the Father's business constantly. Daniel was doing the Father's business, but they could not find no occasion nor fault. He was high up. He was real high up. He was set above the presidents in this government right here. He was, from what I can tell, he was about second in command below Darius. I mean, he was right there. He was real high up. He didn't let that get to his head. He didn't let that consume him. He didn't let that power just overtake him. He was still about the Father's business. He still was faithful. The Bible says he was for as much as faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, I'm not going to say that I've been perfect. I'm not going to say that. I'll be the first to say I'm not perfect. But it's how you react. Your walk with God. I believe if you have a firm walk with God, those occasions, they'll come up every day, all day. They'll come up, but it's how you respond to those. If you just outright, you know, something goes wrong. For me, if a drawing goes wrong, that I'm trying to put some whatever together, beam, comb, that I'm trying to put together and the drawing's messed up and I just absolutely come off the hinges on it, what kind of testimony is that? If I just go to slinging stuff, if I go to cussing, if I go to hollering at everybody in there, what kind of testimony is that? Even if it is their fault, what kind of testimony is that? For me, to just fly off the hinges, to be making dirty jokes, what kind of testimony is that? That's a fault. That's an occasion. Those mess ups. And like I said, I know we're not perfect. But it's when things come up that we absolutely lose control of ourselves. because we didn't have a full control on ourselves. We didn't let God just have his whole way in our lives. We let a little bit of the world into us, so we let a little bit of the world out. But it says right here that they were watching him. They're always keeping an eye on him. They, even later on, when they had made the law, when the king had signed the law, he said, "You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on back to my house. I'm going to open up my window as I did beforehand, and I'm going to pray to the Lord. I'm going to make supplications to the Lord." Verse number 10, praising God and serving him no matter what. Verse number 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." All the things that had gone down, the lion's den didn't scare him. The lion's den didn't scare him. "Hey, you know what? I'm going to go to my house, pray three times a day, make supplications before the Lord as I did beforehand, because this don't really bother me, because the Lord's in control. Whether I get thrown into that lion's den or not, Lord's still in control either way. Whether I don't, whether I do, he's still in control." Those lion's dens, what does the Bible say? "He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Those pits, them little things in our life, them lion's dens that the world makes a little thing that, hey, we'll kind of put our foot out as he walks by, and we'll make a little happenstance for him to have to break something. He's got to. Well, I'm going to keep on praising the Lord. I'm going to keep on talking to the Lord. I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. And I'm going to keep on walking with the Lord as I did beforehand. Whether this comes up or not, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to stand. I'm still going to stand against the devil. I'm still going to stand against my flesh. Whatever my flesh is wanting at the time, still going to stand against it no matter what. Amen. Praising God no matter what. Verse 16, "God will deliver thee no matter what trial or burden, God will deliver." Verse 16 says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." See, even Darius was the king. Darius had a very high place. No one told him what to do. No one did. He was the king. Darius was the king. But he knew David enough, or not David, Daniel. He knew Daniel enough to know he prayed continuously. It says he was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He had a heart for Daniel. He had a real heart for Daniel because he saw he was genuine. Does the world see us as genuine? Do we just put on a front? Do we just put on that, I'm religious. I put this religious. I go to church, you know, but I live like all the rest of y'all. I joke just like the rest of y'all. I drink just like the rest of y'all. I talk just like the rest of y'all, but I'm religious. No, I see people like that all the time. All the time. They put that religious label on themselves, and that, you know what, I go to church. Yeah, I even have the King James Bible. I read from the 1611 King James Bible. Well, that's great. How much dust is on the top of that Bible? When was the last time you cracked that thing open? Or is it just so hard on that bookshelf or standing up that it's got a flop to it now? How's that condition of your Bible? Because I've seen this thing, this quote, I don't know who said it, but a torn apart Bible, the life of the person that owns that Bible ain't tore apart. They ain't tore apart. But what I'm saying is, the Lord will deliver you from all of that. The Lord, verse 16, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually." See, he saw Daniel praying and serving God and serving him constantly. He didn't just ever so often, you know, Well, yeah, I serve the Lord. I go to church. No, he saw. He saw him. Does your boss see you as, she continuously serves the Lord. So when something comes up, I know they serve the Lord. They continuously serve the Lord. And it's not about a label on us. It's to all glory to God. And so they see that. Going back to the first point, the world's going to see everything you do. Whether you win, whether you lose, whether you give in to the flesh, or whether you don't give in to the flesh, whether you stand against the flesh, they're going to see that. And if you stand against it, the battle is just going to get harder and harder and harder. But that's when your flesh or your faith becomes stronger and stronger. The more that you get into it, it's just like I've used, and several have used the term, the illustration before, going to the gym. If you just lift the same 5-pound weight, all right, 2 months down the road, you're not going to get any stronger. Yeah, you can curl that 5-pound weight 100 times, but if you pick up that 10 and go to curl it, you ain't going to be able to curl it. But if you do that, that's hard. The things that are hard, the trials in this life, that it's to make it or break it. If you let it break it, where you're not advancing. But if you hold on to Christ and let him mold you in that situation, go through that with faith, knowing that God is able to deliver you from the lion's den. That's when that trial, that hard thing, that 5-pound weight ain't nothing no more. Now I'm curling the 50s. You know what I'm saying? It's each step and step. I've preached before taking the little steps. Hey, he prayed 3 times a day. He fasted before the Lord. He made supplications before the Lord. At first, one might say, well, that's just a little thing. Well, you see where it got him? Now he's a story in the Bible. I mean, that's something to consider. Praying and supplicating to the Lord, praising him, worshiping him, living for him. It might seem like a little thing now, but come on down the road, when that lion's den opens up and you're thrown into that lion's den and you've been serving the Lord like you ought to be, and there's an angel sitting down with you in that lion's den, holding them lion's mouth shut, it's not going to be a little thing anymore. It's going to come in handy real well, I'd say. Verse 20, servant of the living God, being a servant of the living God. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? He was a servant of the living God. We serve a living God. We don't serve a God that's dead in some tomb still over in Israel. No, that tomb's empty. You can look it up. I mean, it's all over the place. If you didn't know that, I mean, where have you been? We serve a living God. He's not in there no more. He's seated on the right hand of God. That's a big deal. I mean, what if I made it in this world? What if, for whatever reason, I just became a millionaire and I was high up, you know, I was in some golf clubs and ski clubs all over the world, had some nice cars. You'd be excited to be my friend. But on a daily basis, how excited are we to be the children and heirs of the living God who was crucified, who died? He died on a cross for you and me. Why are we not excited? I mean, we ought to be excited.
Yes, sir.
That right there, is there not a cause? David said, is there not a cause? We have a living Savior tonight. We had a living Savior last night, and if time goes on tomorrow, we'll have a living Savior tomorrow night, tomorrow, today. We've had a living Savior for the past 2,000 years. He was only dead for 3 days, and here he is, alive. You tell me one person that's ever done that under their own power will be waiting a long time. Yet, we can go throughout our day, oh, woe is me. So much has happened to me. And yes, I'm not taking that away. There are struggles in this life. We do get down. But we have the living Savior. We can have faith and trust in Him that whatever lion's den we're going to be in, O servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from that lion's den. I'll tell you right now, in verse number 21, then said Daniel, if that verse said something different. Said Ashley unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent an angel and hath shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. That lion's den, I don't know what you're talking about. Angel come sat down beside me all night. He had the mouth of that lion shut. I was sitting in there with him. I was petting him, in fact, enjoying the time of my life in there. God gave you that lion's den. And here it is in the Bible. Here it is in the Bible. I mean, did he think that that was going to come out of that? Guarantee it not. He's probably like, you know, I mean, that's how I would be. How would we be in that situation? Adam, would you, well, the governor of North Carolina said that if we, or the president of the United States, we'd be in rough shape. And if the president of the United States said, you know what, if we get caught praying, supplicating, talking about any God, we're not going to be shot. They're not going to imprison us. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. We're not even going to spend the rest of our life rotting in a jail cell. He's going to throw us into a den of lions. Or me. What if that was me? What if I was told, hey, how would all of us be? If the President of the United States said what he just said, how many of us would be in the lion's den? Or how many of us would be the ones taking hold of Daniel? Throwing them into the lion's den. Oh, there's a fault that you could trip up into. Oh, I bet that'll get old brother Josh real angry over that. Let's see how far he can take it. Let's see how far he can take it. And then just, or Ben, or Miss Phyllis, or Jerry Lee. I reckon how far he can take that right there. I'm just going to put a little lion's den right here for him to trip on into and see what comes out of that. Well, Jerry Lee believed in God. Jerry Lee was a servant of the living God. Verse 23, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was done upon him. Why? Because he had a 500 wooden mag sitting in his pocket. Because he had a Springfield 9mm in his pocket. Because he had a knife. No. Because he believed in his God. He didn't believe in this'n's God. He didn't believe in Dave's God. He didn't believe in this'n's God. He believed in his God. He stood up against all these men. There was a bunch of them. There was a bunch of them trying to get him killed. And not even trying to get him killed in a battle. I mean, David tried to do that. David tried to get, can't remember his name off the top of my head, but y'all know what I'm talking about. When he had an affair with Bathsheba, he tried to get her husband killed. So he sent him off into battle. This wasn't even that. They tried to get him into a den of lions where he was eaten alive by animals. I mean, that's rough. That's real rough. Because he believed in his God. I'd rather die the part of a martyr, the part of because I believed in my God, because I served God. I want them to be persecuting me because I did that instead of dying. Look over in 24. And the king commanded, and that they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Now the tables turn. Those that accused Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came out. It came at the bottom of the den. I'd rather die the part of a martyr. I'd rather be Daniel. Hey, like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If the Lord save us, all right. If He don't save us, all right. I'm sure that was Daniel's thought. I mean, he didn't care. He didn't care. And the Bible doesn't record the Lord ever telling Daniel, hey, they're going to throw you into this den of lions, but don't worry about it. I'm going to go in there. You'll be all right. He doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. I mean, could he have said that? Could have. Doesn't record it, though. So I can assume that Daniel was just, he just had faith. He's mentioned over in Hebrews chapter number 11, the whole chapter of faith. He's mentioned over there. So he just had faith. He just had faith to go into that den knowing, hey, I might die, I might not. But you know what? It's going to be for the glory of God either way. So whether they take me by the clods or the clouds, it'll be just fine. Is that how we're living our life? Are we standing against the devil? Are we standing against those people that are coming after us? Like I said, they're not. It's not the people. It's the people that. It's the father of those people. The Bible said Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. It was going back and forth in a debate. He said, "You're of your father, the devil. You're not a Moses. You're of your father, the devil." We're not fighting against those people necessarily. We're not fighting against those people. We're fighting against their father. And who's their father? It's the devil. It's the devil. We need to be standing against the one standing against you. I'll read this, and then we'll close out. I know I've preached for a minute, and I know it's Wednesday. Everybody's tired. But David, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, David is just a lad. David's just a shepherd. Hey, I can relate with David. You know, he's the youngest boy. He's the smallest out of all of them. And you can do the peasant one. You can do the pet. The shepherd job was the lowest of low jobs. And I'm not saying I'm relating with that part. Lord's blessed me with a good job. That's not what I'm talking about. But David was the lowest, the lowest, the lowest, the lowest of boys in that family. And then on top of that, they gave him the worst job. I gave him the shepherd. And as a little boy, you know what he did? He slayed a bear. He slain a lion. I mean, he took care of them sheep. He took care of them. But then this giant comes along, cursing God, cursing the nation of Israel, cursing God's people. And David, what? Dude, what? So he... I'm going over to him. He's out there. He's taking care of his brothers. He's sending some cheese, some wine, some bread. If I remember correctly, he's bringing stuff that his father sent him to go give to his brothers. He goes out there, and there's this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine, this worldly person. This person, he's cursing God. He's cursing the nation of God. He's cursing God's people. Everybody else is just like, he's a rough character, you know. David's like, he's doing what? He's cursing God? My God that's delivered me from the mouths of lions and bears, he's cursing God? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to go get this guy, to go put him in his place in the ground? Is there not a cause for that? Is there not a cause to stand up against the evils in this world? Is there not a cause? There's some wild garbage going down right now. And as of today, there's the one guy. He stood for God. Me and him, his beliefs weren't 100% level. But Charlie Kirk, I'm sure everybody saw that today. He got shot and killed for going to a rally preaching about the gospel. He political beliefs and everything. He was shot and killed over that. Are we going to be the ones that are going to be in front of the bullet, or the ones pulling the trigger? Are we going to be standing up against the wrongs? There was a girl that was she was killed. An innocent girl. She was just on a bus or on a train, whatever. She killed. Crazy. Crazy stuff happening. I mean, like, everywhere. And I know there's stuff that doesn't get got by the news, so there's a bunch of stuff that we don't even know about that's happened in the past years. But, like, all this stuff that's coming out, like, that was today. Like, today. I was looking at the story as it's happening. That was crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's blowing my mind. And they're coming after Christians now. And they're open about it. I mean, he was in front of thousands of people. Thousands of people. It's not going to get better. I mean, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I'm sure all y'all know, though. It's not going to get better. It's not. It's coming down to this. It's coming down to the wire. Where are we going to be standing? Are we going to be standing in front of the world, preaching the gospel against sin? Are we going to be preaching Jesus? Are we going to be living like Jesus? Are we going to stand against Goliath? Hey, we may seem... I've seen a picture before, and it was a picture of David looking at Goliath, and it shows Goliath's view, and it's little bitty David with a big, great big God behind him. Hey, it wasn't Daniel throwing... Or it wasn't David throwing that stone. I heard one preacher say he could have shot it way over here, Goliath standing over here. If it was God's will to hit him, it would still hit him. Hey, if it's God's will for us to live holy, and it is, yes, let me remind you, it is. It is God's will that we live holy. It is God's will that we serve Him on a daily. On a daily. That's what Daniel did. He served God on the daily. Three times a day, actually. He didn't just once a day, twice a day, maybe half a day. He served Him every day, three times a day. How often are we standing up? You know what? I'm not going to let my flesh win today. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Purpose in our heart, the Bible says. Purpose. They purposed in their heart to serve the Lord. Are we purposing every day? You can't just ride up, put it on cruise control and just let her fly and be all right. You can't do that with Christian life. You can't do that. Hey, if I was to get in my truck, put it on cruise control and just drive straight, I would not end up, most likely, at my desired destination. I wouldn't. So you got to take turns. Hey, you might not like going through Greensboro, North Carolina. I don't. But to get to my destination, I may have to. There's things in this life. Hey, Daniel didn't want... I'm sure Daniel, in his heart of hearts, was like, lion's den, really? You know? But he still did it. He still served the Lord. He still went on. And he kept standing for God. And even afterwards, even after the lion's den, he wasn't like, God, why did you put me through that? I'm walking away and walk away. No, he kept on serving God. You know how many chapters of Daniel there are? We're about to find out. There are 12. There are 12 chapters of Daniel. This is chapter 7. There's a lot more that goes on. This isn't Jonah. And no offense to Jonah, I'm not trying to just find him and throw him under the bus. But Jonah, that's what Jonah did. Jonah was like, God, these people, I'm going to go in an opposite direction. He did. He legitimately went in the opposite direction twice the distance that Lord was wanting him to go. He was going a way harder route, but he was like, you know what? I'm not going to Nineveh. Hey, what if that coworker you don't like? Lord's like, you know what? Go witness to him. He hasn't heard the gospel. Hey, he doesn't know my love. He's in an awful place right now, and he's putting on a hard shell, but he's right there. He's right there. Or maybe he does have a hard shell. Maybe he has a hard inside. Lord's like, you know what? I can break that, but I need you to go. I need you to stand up. I need you to, hey, there's a gap, and I need you to fill it. What are we going to do? Are we going to obey God? Hey, what if Daniel was like, you know what? I'm not going to pray today. I can see they're outside my window, and they can see me praying, and I can see them watching. So I'm not going to do that today. And they watched three times a day. Hey, is he going to? Oh, he's looking out. He didn't. He didn't serve God. They're watching. Every day. Going back to the first point. They're watching. Every day. They're watching. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to stand up against the devil? And that's all I got. Caleb, if you want to come and play the piano.